The reading from Mark chapter 4, verses 21 to 34, which you can find on page 1006. He said to them, "Do you bring in a lamp to put it under a bowl or a bed? Instead, don't you put it on its stand? For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Consider carefully what you hear," he continued. "With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him." He also said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces corn, first the stalk, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come." Again he said, "What should we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest seed you plant in the ground. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds of the air can perch in its shade." With many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them, as much as they could understand. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. But when he was alone with his own disciples, he explained everything.
Well, good afternoon. My name is Mark, and it's a great pleasure to have you with us today at Aldersgate. And this is the second in our mini-series on Mark chapter 4. In or out, it's entitled. In or out. That is the big question that is finally going to be answered this Thursday, or maybe not, depending on whether you think we'll have more and more negotiations on the back of what happens on Thursday. It's interesting, I think, that Phil, who explained the first part of Mark chapter 4 last week, said, actually, there's a much bigger issue on the table than whether we are in Europe or out of Europe. There are bigger questions. The bigger question being, are we in Jesus' kingdom or are we out of Jesus' kingdom? And Phil said to us that more important than voting in the referendum was voting with our ears. Will we be people who hear Jesus' words and accept them? Jesus' word of the kingdom, Jesus proclaiming that salvation is on offer, Jesus saying that he is the king. If we believe in him, we can experience forgiveness of sins. And actually, it's only taken a week, really, hasn't it, to show that what Phil said last week, there are bigger things than the referendum. It's only taken a week to show that that is true. The horrific murder of Joe Cox MP has brought out all kinds of other bigger questions, hasn't it? It's more important, the politicians have said, than the referendum. We need to think about life and death, matters of family and democracy. So I think even more so this week, we feel the urgency of this section of Mark's gospel. The big issue is, are we in Jesus' kingdom or are we outside it? But if we were here last week, or even if we weren't, if we hear this message of Jesus saying, "Please listen to me, please accept my word," why on earth should we listen to Jesus' word and accept it? After all, there were four types of soil last week, weren't there? The word was sown in four types of soil. And in three quarters of the cases, Jesus' word was rejected. Some people were voting with their ears, but 75% weren't. So if we're in that 25%, how do we feel? Do we think it's actually better if we join the 75% who reject Jesus' words? After all, they are the majority. And I'm sure that's what the disciples were probably thinking back in Mark chapter 4 as well. Here's Jesus, he's come onto the stage of history, The kingdom is at hand, he has said in Mark chapter 1. Repent and believe the gospel. And quite frankly, not many people are believing the gospel. Well, the wonderful thing is that Jesus understood the disciples' concerns back then. And he understands our concerns if we're thinking like that today. Because in Mark chapter 4, we get this extended section of Jesus' teaching. You might notice that in Mark chapter 1 to 3, there's lots of little episodes. But when we get to Mark chapter 4, things slow down. And we get a chance to stand back and reflect on what's been going on. And as well as Jesus telling us that we need to listen to him and keep listening to him, he also gives us some real incentives to keep going with that command. And you'll see those two incentives are there on the handout that you received when you came in. The message is plain for all to see, and a resounding victory is guaranteed. These are two concrete incentives that Jesus gives his followers to keep listening. After all, Jesus is now speaking to his followers. He turns to his disciples to explain the parable of the four soils we saw last week. And this passage today just flows straight on. He's continuing to teach them about his kingdom, teaching those who want to listen why they should listen. So I'd really urge you, if you are already a disciple of the Lord Jesus today, to listen in on these parables today. And maybe if you're just even intrigued by Jesus, even if you're starting to think, maybe this man is the Christ who he claims to be, I'd urge you to listen to what Jesus says and to pay attention to what you hear. So first of all then, let's look at verses 21 to 25. Jesus says it is worth listening to and accepting his words because the message is plain for all to see. I suppose there are those in the Brexit campaign, those who are in the Remain camp, those who are in the Leave camp, who think you can't possibly see why the other side disagree with them so pointedly. It's so obvious, they say. My arguments for being in or out of Europe are obviously true. It's quite clear we should come in or we should stay out. And I think actually something similar is going on here. Jesus is saying to his followers, to those who are willing to listen, look, my message is as plain as day. It's a real reassurance to those of us who are listening to Jesus. Let's look at verses 21 to 23. Jesus said to them, do you bring in a lamp to put it under a bowl or a bed? Instead, don't you put it on its stand? For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. In the context, the lamp that Jesus is talking about here seems to be the word that Jesus is speaking, that he wants his disciples to listen to. Jesus is saying that the gospel news of the kingdom is there. It is here now. Jesus is speaking it. And ultimately, you can't hide it. God isn't hiding. He has sent Jesus to proclaim the kingdom. God isn't silent or obscure. God's voice isn't guesswork or something that we have as a still, small voice in our heart. It's a loud, clear megaphone, isn't it? Jesus is on the public stage of history here, declaring his kingdom. And not only has God announced his plans ultimately in the Lord Jesus, we've had lots of preparation for that as well. We've got the whole of the Old Testament pointing towards the Lord Jesus. And we have the New Testament after Jesus has died and risen, explaining what his life and resurrection are all about. We have really clear words about the Lord Jesus. Jesus has come to be understood. He's not come to somehow make it difficult. So I think this is a real reassurance if we are taking Jesus' words seriously. Jesus always intended to be understood. Whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. It's meant to be plain as day that we see who Jesus is. So I think this helps us if we're tempted to think, well, maybe there's a clearer way of getting the gospel message across. There is nothing clearer than God's word. Yes, of course, we can use books and commentaries to help us, but ultimately we need to be thinking, what does God's word say? This is where the clarity is. This is the light, the lamp that is shining and giving us clear guidance as to what God's plans and purposes are. And it's actually why we do what we do here at the Aldersgate Talks. We are setting forth the plain truths of Scripture clearly. We could, as Simon said earlier, have discussions about current affairs. We could have musical recitals. And yet, we believe that it is God's word that is the lamp. It is plain. So why obscure it with something else? So hopefully you're given more confidence in God's word as a result of even these first few verses. Jesus' word is plain. And also at the end, Jesus says, with many similar parables, he spoke his word to his disciples as much as they could understand. People are meant to understand this message. But, and there is a very big but that follows, and I think this is why 24 to 25 are there. This doesn't mean we can be just passive and let this word wash over us. The message is clear to all, but it's only accepted by those who listen carefully. So look at verses 24 to 25. Consider carefully what you hear, he continued. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken from him. It's a strong exhortation, isn't it, from Jesus here? A clear command. Consider carefully what you hear. The idea being that you don't let go of an initially positive response, but you keep hold of that truth, you keep listening to the King, and you don't let go. If you do let go, you will end up with nothing. Even what you have will be taken from you. It seems that the kind of plainness of Jesus' words comes as we work hard at listening to it. If you consider Jesus' words, if you're hungry for Jesus' words, then you'll be given more. If you persevere, understanding will come. In fact, more understanding than you ever thought possible. Jesus is saying, if you have ears that earnestly want to hear God's word, God will fill those ears with his truth. Now, it might take time. Remember, we're only at the start of Mark's gospel here. His disciples go on from this point to be very confused sometimes about what Jesus says. But ultimately, he keeps speaking to them, they listen, and understanding is granted out of that initial confusion. You see, I think that the problem can be is that we think, well, we just hear it. We can kind of read the words on the page and get the message. But we don't realise we need to accept it, as Phil said to us last week. We really need to take it to heart. After all the different soils last week heard the message. But only one group, the 25% that yielded the fruit, listened carefully. And remember here, Jesus is giving us the explanation to his parables. That's the explanation he gives to those who are hungry to hear, who are on the inside. So the challenge to us is, will we listen to those explanations? Will we pay careful attention to what Jesus is saying? To illustrate this, let's just take the basic command of Mark's gospel. Jesus says, repent and believe. We can easily understand those words. All can see that it means turn away from your past life, trust Jesus for your salvation. That is expanded as we read Mark's gospel. But to really carefully listen, then we need to think about the implications of that. Repentance. That will mean turning away from living my life with my own agenda at the centre and accepting God as the ruler and king of my life. It will mean realizing that God hates my sin and that I should turn away from it. I'll need to realize that I can't save myself. I can't depend on my own efforts in order to get into the kingdom. I must rely on Jesus. I must believe in him. And that's going to be costly, isn't it? That listening to those words, accepting them, and acting on those words is going to be costly. But it is worth it. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and even more. Do we have big ears, so to speak, big hearts that want to receive God's word and indeed be given more? And for those of us who wouldn't call ourselves Christians here today, then do we see the challenge of these verses as well? Just as every argument for Brexit has a kind of flip side, every parable has its other side as well, as Phil started to explain to us last week. As well as parables being an explanation for those who are on the inside, for those who are on the outside, the parables function as judgment. Phil told us that this is a sobering thing, but the reality is many people listened to Jesus' parables and were confirmed in their rejection of him. And if we would consider ourselves in that category, then do you see it is a great privilege that Jesus has given us these explanations in Mark chapter 4. Jesus is repeatedly telling us clearly, like a lamp, what his kingdom is all about. His truth is bright and brings security and clarity and hope. This is a plain agenda, and he wants his disciples to get behind it. If there's any inkling that we might be thinking Jesus could be the one who he claims to be, then please, please keep listening. Please don't keep stubbornly refusing God's word. Jesus is pleading with us to pay careful attention to what we hear, and we would do well to do that. So that's verses 21 to 25. The message is plain for all to see, but the other incentive we get from Jesus is in verses 26 to 34. Jesus tells us in these verses that a resounding victory for his kingdom is guaranteed. The fourth parable, verses 26 to 29, it's another reassurance to us. Maybe we're wondering why it's worth listening to and accepting Jesus' word. Well, like the man here, we may not know how this small kingdom, this small seed, sprouts and grows. But it does. Under God's providence, the kingdom will grow. We shouldn't be disturbed by appearances. We should just persevere with listening to God's word. You might notice that here it moves from a farmer or a sower to just a man scattering seed on the ground. And I guess it's Jesus broadening out the categories to his own disciples. We too will be people, if we're Christians here today, who are seeking to bring the word to our friends and our colleagues. And maybe we think it just looks rubbish. There's going to be no growth. The kingdom is small. It's not very powerful, is it? But God's word is powerful enough to grow. God gives it the growth. In and of itself, it works. It brings transformation, even though it might be small initially. And that's tremendously, tremendously liberating, I think. We don't need to think, oh, do I need a special technique in order to make this kingdom grow in my office? I'm speaking now to you. I am trying faithfully and under God to explain Mark chapter 4, and it does seem weak. It seems pretty useless. And as I speak to my friends about Jesus, it feels very, very small and not very powerful or impressive compared to the kind of big messages of business and politics that my friends may have. And yet, Jesus says the plain open words of the Bible are what will bring kingdom growth. I'm not saying apologetics talks will be wrong. Of course, we put them on from time to time here. But we don't want to use any special other gimmicks in order to try and win people to the gospel. Let's be teaching them the plain words of Scripture, because the gospel, the seed, it will grow. And it will be slow. I mean, we're a generation, aren't we, of instant results. We like everything to happen immediately, and we think that when that happens, it must mean it's right. But remember, Jesus didn't get instant results. In fact, the lesson from last week is that 75% of people who listen to Jesus rejected what he says. So don't think, well, if only Jesus was in this room, everyone would suddenly be converted. Jesus speaks to people when he walks on the earth, and 75% say, no, we don't want anything to do with you. Jesus knows how hard people's hearts are, but he persists in giving his teaching. He gives the word out, and some people believe it. And I hope that is a real encouragement to us. Jesus persists and perseveres, and to those who have ears, he brings understanding, as he does to his disciples. Look at Peter at the end of Mark's Gospel, a man who has been arrogant, thought he knew everything, and then by the end is utterly broken as he realises, yes, I do need to depend on and trust Jesus. And also I think this parable of this small seed growing slowly means that we can let the word do its work. We don't need to be speaking constantly every hour that we're at the office. We are employed to do jobs. And so it might be you just have that small lunchtime conversation and you wonder, is it going to work? Is it worth me just sharing a bit about the gospel? Well, wonderfully, the seed grows. This man plants it, and whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. And the same for us. We might just have a snatch of a conversation here or there, and yet we can trust that God will bring the growth. And finally, we're going to look at verses 30 to 34. This final parable is really a parable with the ultimate future in mind, and gives us a real incentive for continuing to listen to and accept Jesus' words. Because what we hear about here is a very, very small seed growing into something which is beyond all proportion to how it started. Again, Jesus said, "What shall we say the kingdom of God is like, or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest seed you plant in the ground, yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds of the air can perch in its shade." We're reassured here, aren't we, about the state of the kingdom in the end. It's very much like verse 20 of chapter 4. "Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop 30, 60, or even 100 times what was sown, far beyond what you'd ever imagine from this tiny, tiny mustard seed." The picture here has echoes of a verse back in Ezekiel. You don't need to turn it now, but it's in the Old Testament, where God is promising that he will destroy his enemies forever and create a place for his people to dwell in, and where people from many nations will be gathered under God's care. And this is the image that Jesus picks up on here, a picture of a large plant with lots of tree with lots of birds in it, who are shading in its branches. Unlike the vote on Thursday, the future kingdom that God is going to bring in is not in any doubt whatsoever. If we just focused on what we saw, I don't think we'd have any incentive to persevere. It's interesting, I noticed Chris is here. He used to be at the Aldersgate talks probably, 10 years ago now? Chris was working for us here. And actually you think, 10 years on, things look still quite small at the Aldersgate talks. We're still faithfully plugging away, having different preachers each week speak the word. We have our little Bible studies. Can anything grow big from it? And yet you think over the 10 years, yes, God has grown individuals, but it still looks pretty small. And we won't see the results until the ultimate coming of the king, when the kingdom is consummated. But what a wonderful time that will be. It will be a time when there are people from many different places that gather together in that kingdom. So don't kind of base things on what you see. I mean, imagine yesterday morning if you'd got up and thought, well, I was going to plan a big barbecue for the England or the Welsh game, and look at the weather. I mean, it's just awful. I mean, it was a total washout yesterday morning. I don't know how I managed to get to work, totally soaked. And if I just believed my eyes, I probably wouldn't have thought about organising anything. But you listen to the word of the weather forecaster and you go, okay, they're saying it's going to turn out nice, and what a beautiful evening it turned out to be? Well, I can certainly say that, Jesus' words are more reliable than those of our weather forecasters. The kingdom may seem small now, like a tiny mustard seed, but in the end, it will be very, very impressive. So I hope this is a real encouragement to live in line, therefore, with what Jesus is speaking about here. His kingdom, lining ourselves up with his agenda, wanting to keep listening to and accepting his words. We don't need anything else. We don't need any gimmicks. Jesus' ministry, Jesus' word is sufficient. Let's keep declaring it in public, because in the end, this kingdom is going to be a public kingdom. People will be able to see that this is a large plant with all kinds of birds perching in its branches. Look to the end point. It really is worth it, even though we may feel small and insignificant now. So in conclusion then, I really hope that we have seen that Jesus does want to reassure us, if we are his followers here today, that it is worth listening to his word and keeping on listening to it as well. I think if you are outside that kingdom, or you feel like you're not listening to Jesus, then I hope this is an encouragement to think, actually, despite appearances, it is worth listening to what Jesus says. His word is clear. He's given us a window of opportunity to hear his word and respond. So it would be terrible if we were to reject that and remain under God's judgment. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these wonderful words in Mark chapter 4. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that if we are here today trusting in the Lord Jesus, we would not be discouraged by friends or family or colleagues rejecting the message about Jesus. We pray instead, Father, we would see that there is a real incentive to keep persevering with your word, that it is clear, and that the more we are hungry for it, the more you graciously give to us, just as you did for Peter and those first disciples. And Father, we pray too that for any here who are perhaps tempted to keep this word at a distance, you would help them to see that you've been very kind in providing these words, and we pray that they would listen to them wholeheartedly too. And we pray this for your glory and for the extension of your kingdom. Amen. Amen.